A man had two trips. One was to the old MSY, the Moisant Stockyards, not mounting an airplane for vacation or business, but finding a short-term spot and a waiting area place to pace. A relative long distant from the miles, comments, and decisions was arriving. His other trip required no interstate or air travel at all, just a walk down the hall to a closed door, a distance produced by closeness, a family member having placed silent fortifications around herself, now looking out from a completed, protected space. Now, with that man on his second trip, knocking on the bedroom turned gate with moat, topped with ramparts and lookouts. A man had two trips. Which one was longer, harder? It's foolish to offer a modern rewrite of what Dickens supposedly called the greatest short story ever written. That opening line pulling us into the first son's spiraling life, warming us with the clenched fist rage of the second, pouting son. A man had two sons. I don't take issue, of course, with Jesus' storytelling, undoubtedly the greatest short story teller ever known. It's the later editorial decision for the title that I think can be harmful to us. The Prodigal Son. Jesus doesn't introduce the story this way, or leave a memoir note for the chapter to be entitled as such. Through the centuries, we have done that, fixing our focus on that younger son, broadening our spotlight slightly when he makes way for his older brother. This leads to questions like, which son do I more resemble? When have I been wasteful or stubborn with God? Am I a bit too loose or judgmental? These are great questions, worth forming a practice of prayer or life adjustments around. But I think they can keep us in a certain place, children and little more. Make no mistake, we should always see ourselves as sons or daughters of God, find comfort there. Of course, we're here this Saturday afternoon. We've obviously experienced something of God's mercy in a significant way. But our Father's actions are always more than just descriptive. Jesus' Father shows us mercy so that we might go and do likewise. A man had two sons. A man had two trips. Let's take a look at that man, that father, so perhaps we can look a little bit more like him. What's the harder, longer trip? We each could, no doubt, quickly call someone to mind who fits something of the opening description. The loved one, long distant, from the miles, the comments, the decisions, the family member down the hall but a world away, fortified by sadness or anger or disillusion. I don't suggest there to be a magic potion for the conversion of one far away or the signing of a peace treaty with one close. I simply suggest again to look at the Father. A man had two trips. The tarmac touchdown happens first. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. That waiting area pacing is in expectation, not anxiety. With one long absent, the man runs to him, reminds him of deeper bonds still, has that sheen of sweaty joy, rattles out words to the stammering relative. The second trip is different, of course. Not a flurry of activity, but the echo of the knock on the closed door. His father came out and pleaded. The man listens here, is slow here, starts patiently here. He enters the protected space to remind of safety possible, love still consistent, generosity everywhere. You are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. A man had two sons. A man took two trips. There are places God wants us to go, people God wants us to see. We don't control their responses. We can't write tidy little endings for ourselves. But having found our place as God's sons and daughters, having received his mercy, we're reminded there is more for us. Our discipleship moves us to leadership, to taking the lessons received from the Father and trying to be that Father ourselves. A man took two trips. May we notice how God accompanies us down the runway and down the hall, placing our story once again this afternoon in line with his for us.